Hello, I'm Tom Moan, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KOR-UFM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moan for August 30th, 2019.
Good morning, fellow pilgrim. What a delight to be with you again as we continue our journey in the tension between the kingdom now and the kingdom to come, and how the Holy Spirit, through the Scripture, through the Lord Jesus Christ, comes to each one of us to bring us on a kingdom pathway, a way where we can be drawn out of the world, the flesh, and the devil, drawn into God's purposes, which are always to bring the kingdom of God on earth, even as Jesus taught us to pray. And I repeat that so many times, not just to say to you, but I say it to myself. Lord, you're after something, and I get a few glimpses when I read, and we'll be back to Matthew 13 with more pictures of the kingdom of God and the parables that Jesus told. But this whole idea of the kingdom is, it continues to expand and grow and grow. That's why I mentioned a couple of podcasts ago, I can remember many evangelicals talking about they had the whole gospel being born again. Then I heard another one say, no, they were full gospel. They were born again and filled with the Spirit. The deception in that is those were just simply entry steps, and both of them missed what the gospel really is, which is the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God on earth. And that's what our salvific work is doing by the Spirit in you and me, sanctifying us, winnowing fork, taking out chaff, that we can rule and reign for the kingdom of God. Now I'm going to pause and talk a little bit about more about the need for personal government, and I'm going to read out of two new versions. And first one I'd like to read out of the Message, out of the book of James, and I'm going to read from the first chapter and out of the third chapter, because I want to say something about our tongues. Oh, yes. Chapter 1, verse 10, from the Message. Post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears. Follow up with your tongue. And let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the Word, making a salvation garden of your life. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game in self is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this. Reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. Now, I believe that those things are part of what it means to rule and reign on behalf of God, the way that God does. I also want to read from the Message chapter 3, where he talks more about the tongue. Verse 1. Don't be in any rush to become a teacher, my friends. Teaching is highly responsible work. Teachers are held to the strictest standards, and none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person and perfect control of life. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame the tongue. It's never been done. The tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongues, we bless God our Father. With the same tongues, we curse the very men and women he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. My friends, this can't go on. A spring doesn't gush fresh water one day and brackish the next, does it? Apple trees don't bear strawberries, do they? Raspberry bushes don't bear apples, do they? You're not going to dip into the polluted mud hole and get a cup of clear water, are you? I love the way he writes that in the Message about the tongue as a fiery, fiery vessel. Now I want to turn to the New Living Bible, which has some marvelous footnotes, and it's one of the footnotes that this translation does of that same portion of Scripture. I want to read it now out of the New Living Version, which is I've really grown to appreciate. I'm going to read some of the same verses, and then I'm going to read one of their comments, which I thought was so insightful. And again, I'm talking about the rule and the reign of God on earth, government, and it begins in our tongues. We've got to learn how to speak the word of God. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. I've read that from two versions, and then I went back and I began to read the footnote in the New Living Bible about the tongue. And I thought it was so beautiful, I wanted to read it to you. This is, again, the New Living Bible and a footnote for verses 2 or 3. What you say and what you don't say are both important. To use proper speech, you must not only say the right words at the right time, but also not say what you shouldn't. Examples of an untamed tongue include gossiping, putting others down, bragging, manipulating, false teaching, exaggerating, complaining, flattering, and lying. Before you speak, ask, is what I want to say true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And James compares the damage the tongue can do to a raging fire. The tongue's wickedness has the source in hell itself. The uncontrolled tongue can do terrible damage. Satan uses the tongue to divide people and pit them against one another. Idle and hateful words are damaging because they spread destruction quickly, and no one can stop the results once they are spoken. We dare not be careless with what we say, thinking we can apologize later, because even if we do, the scars remain. A few words spoken in anger can destroy a relationship that took years to build. Before you speak, remember that words are like fire. You can neither control nor reverse the damage they can do. I read those two things, and I began thinking about it in my own life. I've been a teacher of the Word of God, and I've read those verses so many, many times. And then I began to think, how many times could I have used another word? I'm married to a woman who is a word master, loves language, loves words, was an English major. And there are times when she would hear me teach and I'd come home and she'd say, you know, honey, you were talking about this and this and you used these words and I think you might rethink it and next time you teach on it, use these words. And the things that she would say would be so clear. Sometimes I would receive it with joy and sometimes I would say, well, you're just being critical. No, she was a real and continues to be a real wordsmith. And I appreciate that so much about her. I'm so grateful that God in His grace gave her to me so that by the Holy Spirit, I can learn how to use the right kinds of words when I hopefully speak for the Lord and for His kingdom. I want to go back now to Matthew 13 for just a few moments in closing this particular podcast. And I don't know if I need to ask for forgiveness, but please understand this whole thing about the tongue has really gotten to me. I've realized more and more how important words can be. I think of the words that Jesus spoke in rebuking the Pharisees. And yet, when he was before Pilate at one time and before others, he was speechless. He said not a word. He knew when to speak, how to speak, and what to speak. And this is something that begins to be a discipline in your life and mine. The tongue really is a raging fire, or it can be a blessing. There are so many times when people need encouragement, a word of approbation, a word of encouragement. And sometimes we don't give it, and sometimes we give too much and it becomes flattery. So we must learn how to bring this tongue under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And I know in my own life, oftentimes after preaching or teaching, I've kind of said, oh, Lord, forgive me. I could have said that a different way. So when you and I are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and the life of the kingdom, realize that learning the government is going to begin with you and with me, in our words, and in our lives. And it's going to have a personal meaning. It's going to have a meaning in the family. My son and I were talking before this podcast that each of our children had to be disciplined differently. The word that I had for this son didn't work for this son. God has a plan for each child and a discipline for each child. The same can be in the church and in the world. God has words that he wants to speak. I'm going to go back now for just a few moments as I close this podcast. In verse 44 of Matthew 13, another parable of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. What is the Lord saying about the kingdom of heaven? How precious is it? How precious is it? When I repeat that verse again and again, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's nothing greater than the kingdom of God on earth. It is priceless. It's beyond price. That's why he sells all that he has and buys the field. And then another parable right after it in 45 and 6. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Brothers, sisters, the gospel of the kingdom of God is that pearl. It is that treasure hidden in the field. And few there are that seem to find it. So many people find being born again, being filled with the Spirit, but so few enter the kingdom of God. And that's why I go back again and again to the plea of Jesus at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, go into all the world and make disciples. Disciples are those who have found the treasure in the field and are excited and just sell all they have to become kingdom men and women. Or they're one that they're seeking the pearls and they sell all they have to get that pearl a great price. That pearl is the kingdom of God. That treasure in the field is the kingdom of God. And I'm going to begin the next podcast with verse 47 about the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, gathering fish of every kind. We're going to talk a little more about that in our next podcast. But as I close today, I want to pray a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, by your winnowing fire that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, would you please, by your Spirit, and gently I ask, Lord, teach us how to tame the tongue. Let us tame our tongue to be a vessel for the King and the kingdom of God, for rightly expressing everything that the King and his kingdom express. And let us not use this tongue to hurt, to destroy, or to bring arrogance to ourselves. Let this words that come out of our mouth be words of life, love, and blessing, so that we can fulfill the command of Jesus in John 13 when he said, go into all the world and love one another the way I loved you. And he just washed their feet, even the feet of the betrayer. So Father God, I ask you, tame my tongue. Let me be sensitive enough to bring my tongue to you, that you might discipline it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.